Thanks, Brad. I was impressed preparing Bible studies for one of our home groups, how it talks about laying on of hands for God to equip someone for a task. So I appreciate that. Thank you. This isn't in my PowerPoint, but there have been three times when I've felt God specifically bless a message that I've given. Once was when I was 19, and I wasn't expecting it. It was in my home church, and I'd been really enjoying Romans, and I preached on Romans, and God took over. And afterwards, someone said, "Can I have the notes of that?" I said, "Well, you can have my notes, but that's not what I said." I was really surprised. And another time, I went to a church in London to preach, and I had an ordinary, it was a missionary message they wanted, and I had my message, and before the service, they took me into the back room, and all the elders were there, about 15 men, and we prayed for 20 minutes, and then they got me to kneel down on the floor, and they gathered around and laid hands on me for God to equip me for the message. And I've never preached like that before. And it came across so strong. And the following year, they invited me back. And I thought, wow, this is going to be good. And I turned up, and they said, "Sorry, we don't pray like that anymore." And I preached, and it was ordinary. It makes a difference. All right, now I'm going to move my table over here so I can see what's on the screen. This time, we're talking about multiplying. It's the next stage in this series that we've been doing. The first message, it talked about prayer, but it talked about a vision from God, a vision that you don't organize yourself, but you get it from God. And the second one, we talked about getting organized to do that vision, have a plan, get systematic, and work on your approach to the community, and see common ground where you can reach the community. And this one is a little bit scary. Healthy churches will reproduce. Healthy churches will grow. Do shepherds give birth to sheep? No, sheep give birth to sheep. Churches give birth to churches. You say to me, "Well, we're struggling to survive. How are we going to reproduce? I'm telling you, set your sights on it." My father used to tell me, if you aim high, at least you won't blow your toe off. Set your sights on it because it's biblical. It's the way it happened in the New Testament. Acts 1:8, "You will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Oh, now, how do you use this red dot thing?
In the middle.
Oh, yeah, okay. There's Judea, there's Samaria, And then it says, the believers scattered, preaching, as we had in the Bible reading, Judea, Samaria. You notice, we didn't read it today, but in 8:27 of Acts, Philip went and led an Ethiopian to Jesus. In chapter 10, Paul led a Roman soldier to Jesus. In 11:19, it talks about Phoenicia, meaning Lebanon, and Syria, just up there. And in 11:19, it also talks about someone from Cyrene, right over here in Libya, coming to Antioch in Syria to help to plant a Gentile church, the first completely Gentile church. And you can see, how did the church get all the way around there to Cyrene already? But it had. Jews must have traveled. Maybe some Jews who were there at Pentecost went back home and planted a church in Cyrene, and now the church in Cyrene is already multiplying. And that church in Antioch has these famous words. There were in the church in Antioch prophets and teachers. And as they fasted and prayed and worshipped the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I've called them." So I've summarized it that way. The church leaders are fasting and praying and worshipping. Amazing. Fasting and praying and worshipping. I think of fasting as when I want something from God. But you can fast as worship for God too. And that time, God spoke. And he said, "I want Barnabas and Saul." Now, Barnabas was the one who'd gone and got Saul, as we had in our reading. And Saul and Barnabas had been co-teaching this church for a year. And now God's saying, "I'm taking your two best men." And the others had grown up, and they were willing to say, "Yeah, we'll lay hands on you two guys and we'll send you off for whatever God wants you to do next." In our church live stream, South Perth, we had a lovely worship minister. He played keyboard and saxophone, but most of all, he was in touch with God, and when he led, the worship was beautiful. His wife is a quality singer. She's made a DVD and sells it. And she was an asset to the worship team. And God said, "Separate me, Darren and Mel, to go and plant a church in Karawara." Darren jumped at the chance. He got really excited. He got everybody praying, and the church in Karawara was born. But it was costly for us to send those two people. Now, what did Barnabas and Saul do? They went off, first of all, to Cyprus, where Barnabas came from, and then across to Perga, and then Attalia. And it doesn't say, it says they preached there, but it doesn't say they planted churches there. And then they went up to Lystra and Iconium and the other Antioch. And so they planted churches in all those towns, got stoned, and came back and strengthened the believers and appointed elders in each place. But there was another time when they planted a church in Ephesus here, and the church in Ephesus spread through the whole province that Ephesus was the capital of. And all these other towns that are mentioned in the book of Revelation were born out of the church in Ephesus. The whole province of Asia heard about it. All right. Just say God does something beautiful here. Just say God comes down and demonstrates himself in your congregation. A lot of people are going to hear about it. And particularly, it'll get into the Darlington Review. But mostly, it'll go from word to mouth, from mouth to mouth, won't it? From mouth to ear. People will talk about it. Because you're excited, something's happened to you, you can't help sharing. And that church planted all those other churches just because people were excited. This is new, I'm changed, I want people to know, I want my friends to know. Oh, wrong one. When Paul got across to Macedonia, he founded this church in Thessalonica, and once again he says, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. That's the one thing we need. You know, my wife had an operation this week in Fremantle Hospital, and she couldn't drive, so I drove her down and I waited there all day while she had the operation, and in the evening I drove her home. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to be there a long time, what will I do? And I could have taken the computer and worked on stuff. I had your message already, so I didn't need to prepare that. But I thought, wow, what an opportunity to take a day of retreat and be with God. So I took a book to read, a good one, about revival, and I found a quiet corner in the shade under a tree, and I sat there and read the book and prayed. I have to admit, I read the book more than I prayed. What is it about prayer that makes it so hard? But I prayed and I drew near to God and felt blessed. And I thought, yeah, I should do this more often. This is great. Last night, there wasn't anything I wanted to watch particularly. I mucked around. Why didn't I take more time to pray? It's a challenge to take the time to get into God's presence and feel the closeness. Our gospel came to you not just with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord's message rang out from you in Macedonia and Achaia. Well, that's the whole of Greece. There's only two provinces in Greece, Macedonia and Achaia. So, impressive stuff. That church planted other churches right across the country. All right. The principle is churches plant churches. And your dream should not be just to make disciples who can reproduce, but to make this church full of people who reproduce, so that this church can reproduce itself and see other churches planted here, children of yours, daughter churches. Now, you need a team to do this. But the team has a leader. And it was a really surprise to Barnabas and Saul, who turned out to be the leader. You probably noticed. But in Acts 9, Barnabas was the one who brought Saul to Antioch. In Acts 11, Barnabas went to Tarsus to find Saul. Oh, in Acts 9, Barnabas, the one who introduced Saul in those days to the church in Jerusalem. He'd always been looking after Saul. In Acts 11:26, they're off on their journey, and it's Barnabas and Saul. And in Acts 13, it's Barnabas and Saul, at least for the first half of the chapter. And then all of a sudden, Saul is the one who recognized a demon in the magician who was trying to stop the governor from listening to the gospel. Saul was the one who said, "You're going to be blind until you wake up to yourself." The governor was converted, and Saul became the leader. And from then on, it was Paul and his companions. So don't be surprised if during this vision, during this commitment to making the church grow, to making the church reproduce, don't be surprised if you don't expect who's going to be gifted by God and get the bit between their teeth like Darren did and go for it. But the leader always works with a team. Barnabas always worked with a team, and it was probably Saul learned that from Barnabas, because he put it into practice a lot when he went. In Acts 15 he took Silas, in Acts 16 he took Timothy. In Acts 16, I've put lots of references there because it doesn't say the word Luke, because Luke wrote the book of Acts. But obviously, if Luke wrote "we," then he was in the team at the time. And all those references point to times when Luke was in the team. In Acts 18, Paul's is teaching Aquila and Priscilla, and they are part of the team. In Acts 20, there's a whole list. Sopater from Berea, Aristarchus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Tychicus from Asia. Doesn't say which church in Asia, whether it was Ephesus, or although Tychicus went back to Ephesus later. So wherever Paul went, he was looking out for people. There's a pretty energetic, committed guy. He'll come with me. Do you know how Darren started in our church? John Bond was our minister at the time, and Darren went up to John Bond and he said, "Give me a job. I'll do anything you want." And John Bond realized, here's a guy who's committed, who's burdened, who's different, and he's willing for anything, no matter how humble it is. And now Darren has planted one church and is going on to plant another. So think team, think leader, think team. What are the advantages of a team? David and I are regular partners in a team ministry over in Asia. We once a year sometimes twice a year, we go out teaching. And one day, I wanted to go to Thailand, and David couldn't come, and I thought, will I go by myself? I wanted to visit an orphanage, and I thought, no, a single old male visiting an orphanage in Thailand is a suspect straight away. And I'm not going to do it. There's accountability in having a team. And David's gifts are different from mine. He's organized, and he's been a math teacher, and he's a brilliant preacher. I'm dreamy, forgetful, and he makes up for that. We both encourage each other. My suitcase got stolen. It didn't faze me. I knew God was in control. He said, John, how do you manage it? Why aren't you panicking? Well, why panic? I mean, it's only clothes. We multiply our efforts together. We often teach the same 12-lesson course that has been such a blessing to pastors in several countries. And we alternate. He'll teach one and then I'll teach one, and that gives us a moment to sit down and be quiet while we just get before the Lord and pray for his blessing on the next bit. We pray for each other. We pray while the other one's teaching, and that works too. And it's good companionship. The advantages of a team? Yeah. Here's Yusuf. He's the committed church planter in Jakarta. He has planted a ministry in the slum amongst the people who live on the slum to recycle the garbage. Nobody was doing anything for them, and he's built them a shower block. And he's donated 6 computers so the kids from the dump can learn computing and raise themselves out of the muck and filth and stench that they live in. But he's also planting a church in one of the violent suburbs in Jakarta, where he said, okay, we're not going in a car this time, we're going on the back of bikes, just hop on the back. And when we finished the meeting, he said, okay, get on the bike, we'll go, before they find out what we've done. It was a dangerous place for a Christian to be. There was a murder there a week after we left. But he's a committed guy. We love working with Yusuf. And then there's Ben. Ben's a member of he's a member of Karawara, Lifestreams Karawara. But he and I are in the same house group, and we pray for each other. I think he's become my best friend. He often gives me, air miles to go on the journeys. I'm a pensioner, and Ben's air miles make a big difference. And you can see how Ben's encouraging David when David's weary from the journey. So, yeah, we can work together. We can pull each other up. We can keep each other going when we're a team. It's more than just church fellowship. It's deeper than that. But Paul always put the team to work. Paul always and you're doing it. I believe our leader today is leading for the first time. Is that right? Well, he did fine, didn't he? Praise God. Yeah. So Paul said to Silas and Timothy, stay in Berea. they need a bit more help. And he went on to Athens. He said to Ephesus, I'm sending Tychicus back to you. You need him, he needs you. Another time, Paul sent Tychicus all the way to Colossae with Onesimus. Do you remember the story of Onesimus? He was the slave that Paul led to Christ in Rome. And he came from a Christian home in Colossae. And Paul sent him back to say, hey, I'm a Christian now. I submit to you as my master, but I'll be a different kind of slave. Paul had Epaphras wrestling in prayer for the church in Colossae. Paul said to Timothy, stay in Ephesus to command people to do this and that. So that's a pretty strong way to lead. And Titus was in Corinth, and then he was in Crete, and then he was in Dalmatia. So Titus had a part in planting three churches. And it may be, no, Paul was in Crete as well, but I don't know whether Paul got to Dalmatia. Maybe Titus planted that one on his own. And finally, when Titus went off to Dalmatia, well, Paul sent Erastus to Corinth. So there were these guys, they were growing. They were developing. They were discovering gifts. And they became part of the growing edge of the church. Are you growing, or are you keeping the pew warm? Are you developing? Are you stretching yourself? Is the leadership noticing gifts in you? Would you ever dream of going to the leaders and saying, give me a job to do, anything at all? But Paul didn't just give them work to do. He taught them how to do it. He said, this is all from 1 Timothy. And I could have got another lot from 2 Timothy. But I give you this instruction. I urge that. Elders have got to be like this. Train yourself to be godly. Don't neglect your gift. Don't rebuke an older man harshly. You're a young church planter. Treat the older men with respect. Flee from greed, but pursue endurance. And there's lots of advice Paul gives to Timothy. This is how you need to be, and this is how you need to do it. So, you who are leaders, would you be game to share your leadership skills with others that you want to see them develop? Well, whoops. Poor man. I mentored Bill. That's not Bill. And actually, this fellow, Bill's not his name anyway, just to keep him anonymous. He was coming to Christ and he wanted to grow, and he said, John, there's a blockage. And I was helping him find the blockages, and he was confessing them and renouncing them. Do you know the difference between confess and renounce? Confess says, I'm sorry this time, Lord, and I turn against it. And renounce says, I don't want it ever in my life again. Look it up. There's five powerful times the word renounce is in the scripture. As a word that gets you free from your past. And I was helping him renounce stuff, and suddenly he said, oh, John, I got to get rid of this ring. And he's pulling this ring off his finger, and he said, this is a Satanist ring. And I went up to my shed and got a hammer. I said, put it on that rock there in the garden. Here's the hammer. You smash it. He smashed it. It flew off into the bushes. We never saw it since. And he was free. He got married. He married an Asian lady. He didn't realize the things that were different about her. And he came to me and he said, John, I think divorce is the only way out. I said, you married her as a Christian? Don't you divorce her. We don't do that. And he hung in there. And he learned. I said, make it work. Then his wife got cancer and he nursed her through to her death. And I was there. And my wife was there. We helped him. And he appreciated the strength that we... And then he had to cope as a single man again. And there were struggles with that, and I was there for him. I wanted him to grow and develop. I wanted him to become a disciple who multiplied. And then we became team together. And sometimes he led. And we went over to a different suburb where a lady had rung up wanting help. And we ministered to her. We couldn't have done it on our own because one man and one woman is not on for counselling. And then, now, he's in Asia. Long term. He's found an Asian wife again. And he's making disciples in a different country. It's so fulfilling for an old bloke like me to see someone else, younger, making it happen. Now, last point. You might think, no, that's just too scary. I've never seen it done. I don't know how it works. I think let's just settle down and be an normal church. I'm telling you, this is a normal church. That's what the Bible says. Anything less than this is subnormal, substandard, not God's plan. God intends you to multiply. And you think, well, I need help. And you can, just like Paul mentored his disciples, there are people in Perth who are willing to mentor someone who is committed to planting a church. And Darren Crothers is that man. There he is. That is Darren. See how he spells his name? It's different. 2 years ago, our church commissioned him to go and plant the church in Karawara. 3 months ago, he told us we're financially independent. In 2 years? He took a team of about 11 with him, and some of them were good givers. And then they've had a baptism every month or so. The church is growing. They have awful problems because new converts do, don't they? That's what new converts are like. And they get them on their knees and you should hear them pray. 70% of the members at Karawara Church are in a discipling relationship with an older Christian. They're all growing fast. And now he's starting a church plant on the campus of Curtin University. It's going to be different. It's not going to take the form of an ordinary church like Karawara. But he's got the bit between his teeth. He can see. He said, wow, this is the most exciting thing I've ever done in my life. Do you want excitement? Do you want to live on the edge like that? You can. I would love to move to Karawara. At present, I can't. But the atmosphere in Karawara is different from the atmosphere in our church, which is slightly more comfortable. All right, where have we been? Plant a daughter church. Plan to plant a daughter church as well as this one. Just like they did. Just like Ephesus did. Just like Thessalonica did. Plan to develop a team and see who God makes to be the captain of the team. There's advantages in being a team. And make sure all the team gets enough exercise and work to develop their gifts. And mentor the team. Even though you yourself are still learning, that's the way it is. We're all learning, aren't we? And maybe Darren could mentor you. Let's pray. Father, I feel very cheeky coming to this church and laying down such a big challenge. And yet, Lord, it's everywhere there in the book. I pray for these, my brothers and sisters, who are facing this challenge, facing what the Scripture says, that you will enable them and put fire in them and see them making a difference. See them becoming the people of God that you want them to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry for going on so long.